Remember where it was that you first encountered Jesus. Remember what it is that he said and the conversations you had with him through your prayers and Bible studies. And take those memories and hold on to that. And then continue remembering, continue studying.
As a child, I used to hear my grandpa preaching of the joy and hope in living for the Lord.
Welcome to the Adventist Music Podcast, where we share the story of a Seventh-day Adventist musician in under 30 minutes. I'm your host, Khan Elmers. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. In today's episode, we'll explore the story behind Hold On. It's a track written by Savasa Lopati. So don't go anywhere. A few things before we start, please rate and review, share it with a friend. That'll help us to continue sharing these amazing stories. Also, our partners Blue Vineyard help to bring you this podcast. They have a host of services for the Adventist digital ecosystem, and in my opinion, are leading the way in AI innovation in the church. I'm so excited to see what they have coming up in the pipeline. So make sure to check their website out to learn more. Now for today's episode with Vasa. So good to see you again, Vasa. Nice to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me here.
Could you share with us like who you are and tell us a bit about your like favorite hobbies apart from music?
My name is Savasa Lopati. I am a musician. Some of the hobbies that I have aside from music is I'm also an artist, a visual artist. So I paint. I also paint on custom. I do customized shoes, customized work, where I emphasize the use of Pacific Island patterns, that flowers, mm-hmm. and just experimenting with colors and shapes.
I love the art of the islands, because like I grew up in New Zealand, and so I can really relate. When I was growing up, I used to go to workshops and things for the islanders, mm-hmm. and it's one thing I really enjoyed. Is the unique patterns and things from the islands. Is there anywhere where people can like see more of your artwork?
Yeah, they can find me on Instagram at Savasa_Inc. Or you can go to my website at savasalaupati.com. And there is a link there that will take you to all the artwork that I've done so far, including the artwork that people are currently wearing.
That's cool. Oh man. So you actually customize it for people too.
Yeah. It's one of the different ways that God uses my gifts to minister to folks.
That is so exciting. So make sure to jump in on that opportunity if you would like to have something custom for you and your friends. Could you share with us, like you said that you're a musician. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking today about one of your tracks, Hold On. Mm. Can you tell us like a bit about, before we talk about that, can you take us back to like the first moment that you felt inspired to be a musician?
Wow. I've always been surrounded by great musicians. My grandfather, Philip Ulipulu, his son, my uncle, Philip Ulipulu Jr., my dad, my whole family is, they are musicians, whether instrumentalists or singers or both. I never really aspired to be a musician in the way that I am now. It came after singing so many hymns and hearing other people's experiences that I thought, I want to take a chance to share my experiences, the way I've walked. Because while the gospel is the same for everyone to hear, I think we all journey it a different way, and we're all in different parts of that journey. So I want to say that I started to write music maybe around the year 2000. And that was around the time that my grandfather passed away. When he passed, the only thing that would get me out of bed was music. And the odd thing was I had never really written music the way that I do now. So when I got out of bed, these lyrics came to me. Holy Spirit just said, here's some words. I want you to do with it as you see fit. And that's when I began this journey. But to say that I've always wanted to be a musician, it never really came to me as something that I wanted to do as a career or even as a ministry. Because as you already mentioned, being familiar with Pacific Island people, music is a translation of how we breathe. So to me, singing and doing music was just as normal as breathing. So it was just interesting to see how God took me from that to where he brought me to today.
It sounds like it goes right back for you and quite deep into who you are as a person. You mentioned that your grandfather had passed away and that kind of like you pretty much lived off music at that point. Can you take us back to that time and just share with us about those moments, those dark moments you're going through?
I didn't want to do anything with anyone. It was the first, it was a very huge hit to my chest. And I didn't know how to breathe. It just, I didn't want anyone to bother me. I didn't want to do anything because to me, I had not just lost my grandfather. I lost one of the people that I love the most in the world. And as I sat mourning and grieving, one day I woke up and that's when it hit me. Is like, I can't keep doing this, but I also need an avenue of how to express this grief. Otherwise it's going to take over my life. And so when the Holy Spirit inspired my thoughts, I sat down and I just penned words. And the words had to do with hope. The words had to do with love and joy and comfort and also grief. And I think that's where it began to turn into a song. And really, songwriting was just for me. There was never an intention to share it with anyone. But it was interesting when the song actually became something that could be shared with others. And so from the depths of grief, from the depths of unexplained emotions and feelings after losing someone that was so pivotal to my growth, to being able to take words and songs and take words and music out from that and create something that not only glorified God, but it honored my grandfather. And it also showed me that I think God is showing me a new gift that I can utilize for his glory.
So I believe that you have been working on a few albums in the past. You've brought out a few. Can you like run us through the albums that you have released so far?
Yeah. My solo albums started in 2009. It's the first one is called Till Then. That one is actually my favorite one because that was the first one that I did on my own with whatever recording equipment I had. And I did that in the living room of my childhood home. And every time I was about to record, I would have to ask my grandmother, who's no longer with us. I'd have to ask her like, "Grandma, can you close your door, please? I'm going to record. Give me like 15 minutes. And then afterward, I could hear the door creaking and she'd come out and she'd poke her head out. "You can come out now." So I recorded that one in 2009. In 2015, I recorded Love Letters, followed by 2019, I recorded what's called Roses and Lilies Volume 1. And then my most recent project was Love Letters, the 23rd, that I recorded in 2021. Then I did a single that was produced by John Dandan. It was one of my songs from my 2015 album, The Calling, that he revisited and kind of put his own spin on it, but still invited me to do the vocals, which was very, very cool. Very cool.
I see. Okay. I have been listening to a bit of your music in the past. In fact, I used to serve as a missionary in Zimbabwe. And while I was there, I used to listen to this song that we're going to be learning about today, Hold On. And, you know, serving as a missionary can have a lot of complications. And there's a lot of challenges that I went through at the time. And I found that the tracks that you wrote spoke to me more than a lot of the other music that I was listening to. Mm. So sometimes when I'd be like outside washing my laundry with my hands, I would be listening to your music because it resonated to me. Hopefully one day I will have a better life, you know? So and thank God I did, the story did end well with that. I found my wife in Africa and we have since moved to,
praise God,
to, Malaysia where she is from. So yeah, praise God.
That's
for that.
All right. That's all right. That's awesome.
Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing your story. Can you share with us like maybe some of the other challenges that you have faced along the way, you know, since you have started creating your music?
A lot of challenges that I've faced will be things that impede if that's the correct word to use, the writing process, writer's block.
Mm.
Sometimes you've got great melodies and you want to put something to that. But every time you sit down to write something, either it's not something that you've truly experienced, or rather I should say that I've truly experienced, or it's not something I fully understand, or it just doesn't make sense, or it just doesn't sound good. So writer's block has been a big one for me as part of the challenges. Obviously, there's the financial challenges. Mm-hmm. I am an independent artist. I've also experienced depression. As a musician, as an artist, sometimes I get caught up in my head that I live in this space where I assume conversations are happening, and I also get I absorb a lot from the world. When I want to write music that uplifts people, that glorifies God, sometimes the songs don't come out that way. Mm-hmm. And so with that in mind, I leave it alone and I tell myself, you know, let me wait till I'm in a better state of mind before I start writing. So those are probably the things that I struggle with the most when it comes to being a musician.
Yeah, and I have many questions about that, I'm sure. So our listeners as well would love to hear a bit more of that story. Let's talk a bit more about your song. We're going to explore your song, Hold On, in the next segment of this podcast. So
hold on. Us free, and on that day we'll bid farewell to all that's old. Time and time again, the world has promised changes. It has glorified the sins we come to love, and in every single instance we've been let down, and it causes us to blame our Lord above. Reminds us that this world is not our home. He has given us that hope that burns within us. Soon and very soon he'll come to free his own. So hold on.
Okay, cool. So I'm really excited about this song. Take us back to the time when you decided to record it and what was going on in your life.
Oh man, it was 2015. I had just finished traveling with the Revelation of Hope Ministries team. It was a decision that I made that decision because I wanted to continue to move forward with what God had for me. And I wanted to record my first studio recorded album that had this song, Hold On. That song came out of seeing how the world was at that time. I wish I could take you back to what was going on in 2015, but I remember sitting and listening to everything that was happening. And I saw how much of that was influencing the church, Seventh-day Adventist, Christianity. I saw so many people that I had grown up with, that I came up with, that were leaving church for the many different reasons that people might leave church. And I remember Googling, how do you encourage someone who has known God all their lives and knows everything about the Bible and knows everything about what they came to believe, but that's still not sufficient for them. And I was taken to Hebrews chapter 12. The song is actually inspired by this verse, and it reads, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And that's where Hold On came from, the actual title, Hold On, because at that time, I was holding on to things that kept on getting loose and taking me down those streams that were taking me into raging rapids of whatever it is I was going on in life. And in the chorus, it says, "Hold on to the rock of age that never changes." So that anchor stays there. And while we're going through these really rough times in life, if I hold on to this rock, I cannot be moved. I'll be swayed from time to time. Yeah, things might be able to lift me off my feet. Maybe every now and then debris from life will scratch my arms or anything like that. But if I just continue to hold on, then I'll be okay. And I don't always share this with folks, but the song Hold On is actually written for Adventists, specifically for people who have been in the faith for years and something happened that said, I just don't believe anymore. Or so-and-so at the church said something to me that made me not want to be there. Or, you know, people just, it's just not the same anymore. And that's not, in my mind, it's like, it's not about, I understand where you're coming from and we should examine what the reasons are for you not wanting to be there. But remember why you're there. It's because God brought you out of something where you were before and you didn't like it. And now you're in a much better place because of it. Let's start from there and let's remember. Let's build back on to what made you commit your life to God in the first place. What made you, if I can use this term, what made you fall in love with Jesus the first time? And so Hold On is it takes you through a story of my experience. The first verse talking about how I grew up and then the chorus. And then the second verse, it's kind of me pleading with my brothers and sisters that these are the things that are happening. We already knew this was going to happen and it's still going to happen, but God already told us it would happen. So we can hang on to him because he told us already this would happen and he's given us a way out of it. Whereas if we go to other places, including our own wisdom, we continue to fail. These things continue to fail. These people continue to fail, but Jesus doesn't. And so in that bridge, it also continues to drive it home. The weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come. It will return when the morning comes. So the song is it's a story gradually. If you want to call it a sermon, it's going from the beginning to the end. And then, I even write with the help of my Uncle Phil, I write the verse in Samoan, as a way to honor my grandfather as well.
That's okay. Excuse me. Do you want to explore a bit more about that, about your how this kind of connects with your grandfather?
Yeah. My grandfather was a convert into the Adventist faith. And from what I remember in our conversations, the thing that made him become an Adventist was the Bible was made and presented to him clearly. Mm-hmm. It was intellectually put together, I don't want to say the arguments, but the beliefs that we have in the Bible were presented to him in a way that was never presented to him before. Everything just made sense. And on top of that, the person that was witnessing to him, the person that was speaking to him about the Bible and what Jesus is really saying, was one of the most loving people. His name was Pastor Tini Asam, one of the most prominent evangelist in the Samoan community. The way he presented it to my grandfather was in a loving way. There was no Bible bashing. There was no, if you don't do this, you're going to go to this place. These things were presented to him, but they were done in a loving, Christ-like way. So because of all of those things put together, my grandfather converted. And not only did he convert, he was already a teacher. Mm. He also taught English and history. He was a principal. So everything that was brought to him, it made sense. So when he would preach, it was in that same way. He would preach very similarly to the way many evangelists do. Here is the fact. Here is a question you may ask. Let's look through the Bible. And so the reason why that's so important to me and in this song is because he did that all in Samoan. Mm-hmm. However, when he moved to the United States, he could also preach in English. And so I had the very unique privilege of being able to hear him preach ever since I was a kid. Most of it I couldn't understand when I was much younger, mm-hmm. but even now, as I read through his notes, I'm like, man, this guy was a genius.
Amazing.
And I was sharing mm-hmm. with my wife. I was like, this guy preaches the way that I write music.
Wow.
So it had a huge, huge impact, huge mm-hmm. effect on my upbringing and on my ministry.
That message probably will never go away as well. It's always going to be with you. That message is also for our listeners today as well. What would you like to leave them with?
Remember where it was that you first encountered Jesus. Remember what it is that he said and the conversations you had with him through your prayers and Bible studies. And take those memories and hold on to that. And then continue remembering, continue studying until you get to that point where we remember again that there's nothing else in this world. There's nothing else in this world that can satisfy or ground us in the way that the gospel truth, in the way that Jesus' sacrifice, in the way that God's love grounds us and gets us through. And I think if we can hold on to that, not only will it be what gets us through our days and what gets us excited about his return, but other people's will see the same thing and they'll be inspired and they'll ask the questions and God will have opened up an opportunity for you to share with them how you held on and how you continue to hold on.
Thank you so much for following Savasa and I sharing about his story. Next, we're going to be talking about how artists can communicate about their music. So don't go anywhere. You know, in the start of our discussion, you mentioned that you had been facing some issues with like writer's block. And I know that most artists can have this problem. Communication is not easy to do with people in today's day and age, especially. And especially when we're dealing with something as profound, but yet as controversial as the gospel message can be. How do you approach communicating it to people?
I remember this this musician, he said, stop thinking that you're dope. I don't know if I can say that here.
I love it.
But the reason why that sticks with me is because there is a temptation to believe that I'm much better now that I've got stuff that's out on Spotify and iTunes, and I've got printed albums. Humility is a huge part of what's important to be an mm-hmm. artist. And the reason that that is important for communication is because one of the ways I communicate with people is I tell them, I haven't been able to write this song for 10 years. I let them know that this is what I'm struggling with, that may be one of the reasons why I can't get this song across in the way that I want it to be portrayed or the way that I want to give the message. The other thing I do that I'm very intentional about is after concerts, I don't immediately walk off and walk away from people. This is not to say that I have people storming over to the stage to come and take pictures with me. No, it's nothing like that. But the Bible says that Jesus wanted he wanted good for everybody. And so in order for him to do that, he mingled with them. And one of the things that is off-putting for me is when musicians don't mingle with the people that they came to hear, minister to them. I think there's a lot of importance in getting a time to breathe and to get some water and whatever you need to do. But I think what makes music ministry even more powerful is when you sit with everybody. Let them know that, hey, whatever you see on streaming, that's one of the ways that we can communicate. But that does not mean that I'm better than you or that you're better than me. Let's sit, right? Doesn't the word say, let us reason together? What's your name? How's it going? You drove 2 hours to be here. Thank you so much. And before offering, before saying yes, I tried to get ahead of it. Hey, can I get a picture with you? And these are important because I like to hold on to those memories, but it's also because I don't ever want anyone to feel a contradiction between how I treat them and what they've just heard. Because while the gospel is beautiful to hear, what makes it more effective is that people see that you're living.
You know, and Jesus directs our footsteps as we are seeking to communicate with people. He knows the best people who we are best suited to reach. And I thank God for that, because you can reach people, reach people's hearts. And it's a real blessing to use music in that way. And I remember when we first started our conversation here, you did mention that you had struggled with some mental health issues, and you were battling with depression. And I know that you are currently actively trying to raise awareness of mental health. How do you communicate that as a musician?
Again, I just tell people, you know, I wrote this song when I was depressed. Mm-hmm. And the word depression or depressed can mean so many different things for however other people experience it. So I communicate that, like, here's what depression did to me that led me to this part of the Bible to read and be inspired by, and then prayed on it, and then allowed God to inspire me. Because one of the things with depression also is that it has a way of stopping you from, at least for me, it has a way of stopping me from doing what God wants me to do. I also communicated through some of the songs that I've done. I have a song called I Never Knew You. And it's based off of what the word tells us, that when the people ask, Lord, when did you see us doing these things? When did we see you? And he will say that if you did these for the least of them, you did it for me. I sat back like, have I not done enough? And so I was already going through something, and then I happened to start to study that verse. And rather than not do anything about it, meaning not just acting in my community, but not doing anything about it as a musician, I wrote on it and I wrote a song about it. And it was one of the hardest song, if not the hardest song I've ever written, because of how easily it flowed, but how difficult it was to record. Because not only was I sharing something that I experienced through depression, I was also sharing something that it's something that's very real and something that hurt. And yet it's something that gives hope. That's how I communicate how I've been through with my depression, is I'm vulnerable, maybe to a fault, but I believe that Jesus was vulnerable with us. And to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, does not always mean still waters and green pastures. Sometimes it means walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and you don't know yet how to not fear evil, but you're willing to find out because you know who's standing with you. I will say this also, the courage was given to me to come out to express mental health issues within Adventism and Christianity because of other very good songwriters. If we look at our hymn book, there are songs in there that we sing that bring us hope and joy that also came from some very dark places. And my friend Taj Pakleb, he would preach on some of these songs. And as he was giving the appeal, he would talk about a specific song where this songwriter lost everything. And he went through a stage of depression. But as he was going through that, God guided his arms to his saxophone, or he led his steps to the piano, and he just started to play something. And then from that, we get this song, this. And it took for the courage of those songwriters in our hymn books that when I learned about that, that also gave me courage to be able to be vulnerable enough to say, Here's this song. It sounds great to you. Praise God. Here's what I was going through when I made this song.
And this is kind of like the why I chose this platform to be sharing about Adventist musicians, because stories is music. Like, music is song, and it's how we have dealt with the dark times in our life, you know?
Yeah.
And so being able to share our stories on a podcast like this is able to touch our listeners' hearts, to be able to help them, to encourage them. And I'm not sure what you're going through right now, but maybe you have experienced something similar to Vasa and have gone through those dark times where you didn't know how to express yourself, or you didn't know what the next step was for you in your life. Music, continue using your gifts for music. Is there any other advice or any other encouragement that you'd like to leave our listeners with today, Vasa?
Listen to God. I know that's something that sounds super simple, but listen to God. What I mean by that is listen to Him to hear the message He's trying to convey. Listen to Him through scripture. Study, because we don't want to just be led off of a whim. Study and make sure that your prayer time and your study time go together with what you believe God is saying to you. Also, listen to God, because there will be people that say, oh, that's nice, or oh, that's such a nice hobby that you have. Some of the most wonderful stories that we get out of the Bible have musicians to do with it. One of the things that I usually tell to people when they, I don't want to say argue, but when they question the validity of musicians, I say, you know, who were the first people in the front of God's armies when they went to battle?
That's right.
Not the preachers, right? It was the musicians, right? Oh, okay. So there's something important that God needs music and artistry for. I was like, who built the first temple? Oh, okay. Artists. So when I say listen to God, that means it's okay to share with your process with other people, but don't be so pulled by the influence of others who may not fully understand what God is preparing you to do. So listen to God, listen to His message, listen to His word, pray, and listen to Him guiding you, because not everybody is going to hear what you're trying to say until the end product. And then you get the huge, oh, wow. Yeah, I'm glad you kept going with it. So listen to God and keep doing what you're doing.
So wrapping up this episode, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Adventist Music. It was produced by me, Khan Elmers. A huge thanks to Vasa for coming onto the show today. I would love to stay in touch with you on social media. So if you're a musician, tag us on your reels. I usually like to share them on Instagram, and give me a message on socials. I'd love to chat with you and see if we could create an opportunity to do something together. This podcast is specifically dedicated, like I shared with you, to share the stories of Adventist musicians. It's where completely listener supported.